he's got this heavy burden of responsibility, you know, and that he has to, you know, organize everybody. But in this case, he also has to provide a reason and guidance for Forky, who normally would be afraid of everything and throw himself away.
That was Tom Hanks, who plays Woody, the voice of Woody in the new Toy Story 4 movie, which we're going to talk about today.
Slightly overrated.
We're gonna get into that. I'm Neil Rosen on Sitting Around Talking Movies, joined as always by Bill Brigoli.
Yes, sir.
And Bill McCuddy.
That's me.
And we're also going to talk about this Netflix movie that has big star power called Murder Mystery with Jennifer Aniston and
Adam Sandler. And I don't know why I keep making movies, but
I started watching the second season of Big Little Lies. We're two episodes in. We'll touch upon that.
Meryl Streep.
There's a Netflix show called Trinkets that Bill Brigoli has seen. ABC's bringing back a whole bunch of game shows. We'll talk about that. Card Sharks, Press Your Luck, and then they're returning with the Match Game and all this stuff, and we'll get into that. And Bill McCuddy, you want to talk about Euphoria?
The hot new HBO show that actually my whole family watched, and I cringed at a couple of places, I'll tell you why.
And a documentary about a basketball
guy named Ron Artiz, a basketball player called The Quiet Storm on Showtime.
All right, well, let's start with Toy Story 4, which Bill Brigoli did not get a chance to see, but I saw it. And
some
Bill
of
McCuddy
us work for a
it,
living.
And let me tell you what this is about. Okay, first of all...
Yeah, because no one has any idea what Toy Story is about.
No, Toy Story... Let me tell you what Toy Story 4 is about. So when we last left the toys in Toy Story 3, Bill McCuddy and I, and it's no... You know, I'm not embarrassed to tell you, because I got choked up and Bill McCuddy cried and my daughter was all choked up. And you took your daughter, right, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you get choked up?
I took somebody else's daughter.
He rented a daughter.
Did you get choked up at the end of Toy Story 3?
No, Toy Story 2 is the one that made me cry.
Really?
But not
really?
Yeah. There was a
Sarah Were you chopping onions
it was
at the
a
time?
Or? Sarah McLaughlin song.
Well, Toy Story 3 at the end when Andy finds a new home, Bonnie, a little girl for all his toys...
Sorry for anyone who hasn't seen Toy Story 3.
I think that movie is really like a work of art. It's a masterpiece. So Toy Story 4, Woody kind of has an existential crisis. He's no longer the... I mean, would you disagree?
No. Please continue with this.
He's not the favorite
Freudian
toy.
Freudian analysis.
He's not the favorite toy of Bonnie, the new kid who has all the toys. And she made a toy in her first day of either kindergarten or preschool out of a spork called Forky, and voiced by Alan Hale from Veep. And Woody has to convince this fork, who just thinks he's a piece of trash, that he's a toy now and he's very important to Bonnie. He gets reunited, Woody, I'm not going to get into this, with another toy from an earlier movie, Toy Story movie, Bo Peep. And... Woody kind of is trying to rescue Forky, bring her back to Bonnie, and there's this whole psychological undercurrent of like Woody's place in the world as a toy, which I think runs a little deep for a kid's film. But as I said on the show, which airs
or
on
you.
Friday, sitting around, I'm sorry, Talking Pictures, which airs on CUNY and then on PBS
talking,
All Arts.
Talking Movies.
Talking Pictures, my friend.
Talking Pictures?
Talking Pictures with Neil Rosen.
It has so many title changes. I
said that...
sounds like the new Bond movie.
I'm sure TV Guide is just...
It's Talking Pictures.
Constantly confused.
Which is the original title from New York One Days. So, the Pixar movies do work on two levels, one for kids and one for grown-ups. And I don't know, there's some ventriloquist dummies that crop up that are creepy and funny. Did you like the ventriloquist dummies?
I thought that was a funny gag. I mean... I was looking forward to this movie. If you're done,
I can be done.
Okay. I was looking forward to this film, probably the most anticipated because of how much I did enjoy, and as you outed me, openly wept at the end of Toy Story 3. But this movie is not only a disappointment in comparison, but it's kind of run out of gas, and they've had to resort to a road trip in an RV where the family goes, and the toys get left at different places along the road, like a Stuckey's, or not like a Stuckey's, but like
Stuckey's.
Different places, and they have to catch up to the caravan. It's all kind of improbable, and I'll tell you that two of the big chase scenes or action sequences involve jumping from one giant thing to another, so they kind of repeat the same like big piece of business in two places, actually in three. One of the reasons that they keep jumping around is they meet Keanu Reeves Who voices a daredevil named Crash Kaboom or something.
Yes, he's to give you an idea, the Crash Kaboom character is based, he's a toy from Evel Knievel. He's an Evel Knievel-esque type toy.
Yeah, and it's kind of cute.
Well, that's a funny gag when he goes, he starts telling the story that, back in the day when the kid bought me 30 years ago, right. Like I couldn't jump over the cat.
He was watching the television commercial.
Right, it's a commercial.
I can't do what's the commercial. Yeah,
it's kind of funny.
All your toys probably would have said that to you as a kid. So that was funny. I just think that... that this is, as I said to you on Instagram, put a forky in it, it's done. This is...
stick a forky would be the more common expression, but okay.
Put a forky is fine with me.
Okay.
Are you done? I could be done. Anyway, I'm kind of over it. And as much as I enjoyed parts of this film, I'm not actually going to recommend it.
Well, I do recommend it. And I think that if you compare it to Toy Story 3... which it's inevitable that you can't not make comparisons to all Toy Story films. Right. Yes, it is not on the level of Toy Story 3. But that said, if you just looked at it as a standalone movie, like let's say, you just never saw the other movies for whatever reason, or you just judge it on its own, it's a really good movie. I mean, it has deep psychological undercurrents, which I think are interesting. It's funny. I think Keanu Reeves as that.
It's a flawed road picture with, as I said, some big pieces of action that are duplications of each other.
I think, I don't know where you could go with this from here. I mean, as Karen James, who's on the TV show, which will be on next Friday, said, I think this, like you said, I think the series is like, it's over. It's like worn out its welcome. It's done. But I think it's I think they did a good job. I mean, is it the brilliant masterpiece of the last one? No, but it's still quite good.
All right,
there's a lot of gags in it. I think it's interesting, and I'm not going to reveal the end of the movie, but where Woody mentally goes, I mean, it's kind of an interesting take that they went with this thing,
yes, it's
I don't know. I thought the Forky character was funny. There's a doll called Gabby. There's a whole subplot where she was never picked by a kid because she has a defective voice box. And if you know what I mean by a voice box is, those toys like Barbie where you pull the strings, Bill Brigoli, and they, hello, I'm here to be your buddy or something like that. So her voice box is messed up. So she wants Woody's voice box. So
it's kind of creepy. I mean, she's got the henchmen to try and rip it out of
him. The ventriloquist dummies. Yeah. So I don't know. I thought it was, I would give it a solid on my Big Apple rating scale of possible 4. I would probably give it, 3.5 apples, which is pretty high up, where the last one would get 4. This is still damn good,
Are you done?
I couldn't be done.
Okay. Remember when Neil's, there's talking and there's waiting to talk.
All right, so Bill Brigoli, so let's play our game. Okay. What are you going to do? You going to see the movie?
I'm going to find a 6-year-old and... go. I don't know.
Whether they want to or not.
I actually do want to see it. I want to see how many times can you go to this well? We'll see.
You can't. I mean, but when something builds like a stock, it's going to take a fall. So the first one was good. The second one was better. The third one was the best. And it had no place to go but down.
Well, do you think they'll make any more of them? I mean, we are talking about Disney and there's billions of dollars at stake here, good or bad. Do you think they'll make a Toy Story 5 eventually?
Yeah, they'll do a live-action version now. That's what Disney does.
No, they're not going to do a live-action.
John Favreau.
Coming to Broadway, Toy Story.
Toy Story on Ice.
It's interesting. They've done that, but it's interesting that they didn't do a live-action Broadway Toy Story, considering they've done them on all their other big hits. So do you think there'll be a Toy Story 5?
No.
Really?
No.
Do you think?
I don't know.
You haven't seen the movie. Well, I'll tell you one of the things where it could have been a little better.
You're not done.
Although John Lasseter, who was fired from Disney, he does get stories.
He left. He wasn't fired.
Okay, he's got.
Was he a pedophile? I forget.
He was a big hugger. Story? He was hugging. He was inappropriately grabby.
He's a little grabby huggy.
Okay. He was Joe Biden.
He got hugged.
Yeah,
He got into the Me Too thing with a little too huggy. Inappropriate hugs is what they said. But it's Disney.
He was drawn to people. See what I did there? All right.
If he was working, I think, for another studio, who knows if he would have resigned. Disney is, very family-oriented, but who knows? Look, all I know is John Lasseter got a story credit idea along with 3 other people in the credits, 4 people all together. If he was writing the script like I think he's done in the past, maybe it would have been a little elevated. But, I 3.5 apples out of 4 is damn good.
And we should tell people that the movie Toy Story 4 is shorter than that review that Neil just did. Okay.
Well... All right, let's move on to an Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston thing. Yeah. So they're reunited. They made another movie a long time ago, which I don't know, all these other reviews were reference pointing this other movie. I can't even remember this other movie, so it probably wasn't that big of a deal. But did you see it, Bill?
Oh, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about it?
No, I can't.
Oh, come on.
I saw it, but you know how I saw it?
Illegally? But, bootleg?
No. I went on Netflix. You know that little thing you can do with your...
Where's this going?
No, I fast forwarded through most of the thing.
Okay. Oh, I see. It was so you went chapter to chapter?
I just went chapter. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? It looks like the whole thing, and I'm sure you will tell me at length.
Well, Bill McCuddy's going to do the plot on this.
Oh, okay. It looks like they shot it almost all in one room.
They shot a lot on
it. It looked like Agatha Christie's.
It felt a lot like a television show, actually, like a bad Love Boat, or as someone said on the show, an excuse for... Adam Sandler to go on a trip to, I guess,
Monte Carlo,
and
it's old Monte Carlo.
So he's a cop. He's not a detective. He wants to be a detective. He's promised his wife Jennifer Aniston that they're going to go on a honeymoon. That was 10 years ago.
15.
So he finally says okay. They go. They're kind of going on the cheap. Then she wanders up into first class, meets this billionaire guy who invites them on a yacht. It's all based on a true story, obviously. And on the yacht, the father of the billionaire guy gets killed, and it's very much like a Murder on the Orient Express. There's every cartoon cliched character, the fading movie actress, the
snooty French detective.
There's a snooty, played by apparently some wildly popular French comedian.
Apparently he's the best comedian, the number one comedic
he's like
star.
Francis Jerry Lewis?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, now I understand why they like Jerry Lewis. This guy is absolutely humorless. And
in this movie he is, certainly, yeah.
So Adam Sandler has to kind of deduce, like, Hercule.
Well, there's a murder.
Yeah, there's a situation in which they're found to be the suspects, and they have to clear their names. It's just, as I said on the show, if it had been as good as Neil Simon's The Cheap Detective, if it had been that over the top and funny and cool, maybe it would have had a chance, although I'm not sure they could have pulled that off. But this thing is just dead on arrival.
It is dead on arrival. And, I don't understand.
It didn't even look well made. I mean, from what I saw of it, and I did watch more than I let on.
I didn't recognize any of the writers or the directors or anything like that.
The lighting was all flat. It was like TV sitcom lighting.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Why do you think, seriously, I mean, you could just make the case of like, okay, they're just collecting a paycheck. But the bottom line is that Jennifer Aniston has plenty of money, and Adam Sandler has plenty of money. And they're both skilled comedic actors, and Adam Sandler is even a skilled dramatic actor. I could name a couple of roles that he did that I thought
Punch Drunk Love.
Pretty good. So, they had to have read the script. Why do this piece of shit? Really, and it is a piece of shit.
I think they want to stay relevant. I mean, Sandler has a deal with Netflix, so he owed them another project. He did a stand-up special, which I'm going to give a plug to. I think was pretty good.
Wasn't some of that filmed, I think, at the comic strip here?
It filmed around the country at different places. Very funny. I highly recommend that. It came and went. It was popular, talked about for 5 minutes. Anyway, he's got a deal with Netflix that he has to fulfill. You got me on Jennifer Aniston, unless, she's not working. She's making those water and Aveeno commercials and stuff.
You know how much that
pays? Oh, yeah, lots.
That pays like more than the movies.
Right, but does that make you irrelevant? Does that make you the girl who used to be on the most popular, arguably one of the most popular ensemble sitcoms ever? Or is that the girl that is now doing Aveeno commercials? I mean, I think, you'd think that she would know a good script when she saw it, but the truth is she hasn't been anything good since The Good Girl or any other. There was another little serious drama she was in, Neil. What was that?
She was in Office Space, but that was a long time.
No. The one where she's a maid in a motel. Maid.
Oh, yeah, and, that was that's an indie thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they want street cred. That's all I'm telling you. What are you looking up?
I'm looking up to see what she's got coming up. To your point, you said that she's not doing anything. So she's got...
Well, she has a production company, or she did have
one. You're right. She's got nothing... she's got six upcoming projects. She did Dumpling last year. I didn't watch that.
Forgot about Dumpling. Yeah, but that's a good example of something where she was trying to get out of her comfort zone. And all I'm telling you is that this looked like she was trying to get back into like the sitcom-y kind of rom-com.
She should
just
do a Law and Order and fade like most actors do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tova Feltz.
I mean, she's got five things coming up, but I don't know what any of these things are.
How unusual is that, Neil? Let's
be honest. A woman wakes up from a head injury to realize that 10 years have passed and she's a recently divorced mother of two, deciding that
Rumpelstiltz's mom.
This is what Alice forgot. Deciding that her young self needs to take control, she encounters difficulty while trying to get back to her old life. That is an upcoming Jennifer Aniston movie. All right, so maybe you make a point here, Bill McCuddy, that she wants. Yeah, but still, I want
to
stay relevant.
Likely to happen.
So you're doing a Netflix movie, I mean, which is just awful. And I mean, this reminded me, as I said on the show, of like a bad Clue game. It's, you know, Colonel Mustard with the lead pipe in the library or something.
If they had referenced that more, it would have been funnier.
And there was a Clue movie once upon a time.
Oh, yeah. I remember. I worked on the ad campaign for that. What a pain in the neck that was. It had different endings in different theaters.
Right. I remember that.
Oh, man, was that a lot of work.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
You can see ending B at this theater and ending C.
Yes, I remember that.
Well, before we move off of this one, I'll just say that...
Are you done?
Bill Bregoli... I could be done. Bill Bregoli is really... Yeah, I mean, I did not fast forward through. I found the thing to be unwatchable, even though I suffered through it. And
I went on social media.
It's not funny, and it's not the murder mystery part isn't interesting.
We have a DC colleague who's in the Broadcast Film Critics Association called Kyle Osborne, by the name of Kyle Osborne.
Yeah, Kyle, sure.
And Kyle was on Facebook today going, am I wrong? I kind of like this movie, talking about
you're wrong.
And then a lot of people were like, yes, it's great. You know, it's not the worst thing. You know, it's
well,
I laughed out loud a couple of times.
You know, when we do the TV show, everybody writes me their comments on what they think of the movies, but nobody but me knows in advance
yes,
what everybody
it's just
thinks.
Magic.
So it could be spontaneous.
Is
and
that
Lisa
like
Rossman
the secret ingredient?
Right, mixed to positive. She goes, I'm shocked. That's what she wrote me, that she didn't hate the movie. She was like
but
mixed
to
positive.
But then on the show, she didn't like it.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of weird.
She tries to throw you curveballs and change
maybe,
it up.
Maybe that's what she's doing. Anyway, usually I say if you have Netflix and you have nothing to do and you like the stars, it's worth it checking it out for free. But this time I'm saying I don't care. It is not worth it. It's not worth 1 minute of your time. I don't know if both
of you. Oh, I agree. I couldn't even agree.
100%.
Watch it. Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on.
I think my dead on arrival said it
okay.
like 10 minutes
Bill
ago.
Bill Bregoli saw something called Trinkets. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah. I'm hearing about that.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
And it stars Brianna Hildebrand. Do you know who that is?
My good.
No idea.
Really? DB Brianna Hildebrand?
All right. In the Deadpool movies, she played Megasonic Teenage Warhead.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, she was the little kind of butch gal that gave Deadpool a hard time. And she's also stars with Keanu Madeira and Quintessa Swindell. And it's about three teenage girls who meet in Shoplifters Anonymous. They're all shoplifters.
Oh, right.
And that's where they meet, and they hate each other at first.
Oh, they steal trinkets.
It's actually, I think, based on a young adult novel. It's shot in Portland, Oregon. And Brianna's character is a young woman whose mother was killed in a car crash, and she has to move to Portland. She's from Albuquerque, has to move to Portland after her mother dies to live with her father and her father's new wife, who she doesn't like. And she has a hard time getting along, and they kind of use shoplifting as a
metaphor.
Not so much metaphor. It's like comfort food for these people.
Are they still shoplifting?
Yeah, they shoplift.
So even though it's not like they're going to AA and they get the chip.
No.
I haven't done this in whatever.
Right. No, they shoplift. They shoplift. They're supposedly teenagers and in high school, but they're all in their 20s. And at one point, all three teenagers go into a sex shop and heist some vibrators.
Oh,
which
isn't
that interesting.
Hilarious?
It's not meant to be hilarious.
No, I can tell it's kind of a.
It's supposed to be
said,
a little
YA
edgy.
Kind of
so
a,
is it funny? Is it supposed to be a comedy?
No, it's a drama. It's dark. Yeah, it's a drama.
Half hour
episodes.
And you've seen three of them.
I've seen all of them.
You've seen them all.
Yeah.
And do you recommend?
If you watched them all, I think if you didn't like it.
It has some problems with pacing, a lot of the time. You're like, come on, move this thing along. But the performances are very good. In a way, it reminded me of back when I was little, we were all small, the TV networks would put on something called a summer series. You know,
yes.
Just during when all the other things were on hiatus, they'd put on it's that kind of quality. It's like,
and when
not
those,
great, but not
those
bad.
Those came on, you would go shoplifting? Was that where that point?
Yeah, I'd go into the...
And this is Netflix.
One. This is Netflix, but it's not bad. I mean, you may take a... You might not. I'm not going to super recommend it, but...
But yet...
I watched all 10.
But yet, 5 hours of programming, 10 episodes... I mean, you know, if you even were kind of lukewarm on it, you would have dumped out after an episode. Or you would have sat through five episodes.
I found it engaging enough.
Well, that segues nicely into a series.
Well, would you all play the game? I haven't seen it.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I think I'll check out an episode.
She's really good in it, too.
I can also recommend that everyone check out the first episode on HBO of also about young adults, Euphoria. The edgy kind of 13. Remember that movie, 13?
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
This is definitely in that vein with a little more sex and a lot more drugs. It's about a young woman who comes out of... rehab and doesn't really want to be in rehab. Doesn't really care about not doing drugs. She's almost OD'd at the beginning of the show.
So like her parents sent her there. She didn't voluntarily.
But she played along, and she comes back, and she falls back into her same group. She meets a new friend named Jules, who is, I believe, going to be turn out to be transgender. And there's a big party. And there's a lot of sex and
HBO.
HBO, yeah, Euphoria. It's gotten a lot of positive reviews. It's an hour long and it's gritty, but it felt real to me, and I recommend it.
Okay.
Gonna watch that, Neil?
Yeah, I'll take a look. I mean, one episode, you've seen one.
Yeah.
And it's an hour.
It's one a week.
An hour, as I said.
An hour, okay. And is that on Sundays? Is it Big Little Lies?
I think they're dropping it on Sundays, yeah.
Yeah, so I started watching, I saw the first two episodes of, which is all that has been aired so far, of Big Little Lies. And, you know, I wasn't thrilled with the first season, but it was okay. I mean, enough to, like, to use your Trinkets example. I mean, I did watch the whole season, 10 episodes or whatever it was.
And that had kind of a trick ending, kind of a twist little, oh, that's who it was, and we knew this, and that was the lie. And
well,
sort
there's a whole thing with Alexander Sarsgaard at the end with, you know. Yeah, I mean, it was okay. I liked it. I wouldn't say, wow, this is great.
But it did feel like a one and done.
Yeah, my wife.
I remember hearing, "Oh, they're going to do that again." I'm like, "What do you mean? There's a Bigger Little Lie?"
Well, it was one and done, and then the ratings were just so off the charts, great for it, that they decided to now sort of like The Handmaid's Tale. You had a book, and it was over, and that was the first season, and then now the writers are just making up scenarios. And
well, maybe the way you've confronted the makers of that, you'll confront the makers of, including Meryl Streep, and tell them how disappointed
you are. Well, I'm bored. That's the bottom line to this.
What's Meryl Streep in it, by the way?
Meryl Streep plays Alexander Sarsgaard, who died at the end of the first season. There's no spoiler alert there. He was thrown over a cliff because he was beating the shit.
She plays Alexander. She has such range. She can play Alexander
beating Nicole. He was the husband of Nicole Kidman, and they had this S&M kind of relationship. But he took it way too far and was just beating the hell out of her. And he's killed at the end of the thing. So in this new season, Meryl Streep is the mother of Alexander Sarsgaard. She's now just kind of living with Nicole Kidman and the kids, and she's just,
She beating Nicole Kidman? Is she picked
no,
up
she's
the...
actually, she's berating and beating her up psychologically. She's just, like, yelling and screaming, and my son, my wonderful son, and, you know, Meryl Streep is, Nicole Kidman is starting to reveal in the second episode, you know, we had this weird relationship. He hit me a lot and beat me, and Meryl Streep doesn't really want to accept that. Meanwhile, you've got all the other characters, Shailene Woodley, and she's involved in something. And nobody went to the police about the murder of Alexander Sarsgaard, which happens at the end of the first season. And they're all keeping the secret, and they're all feeling very,
smug.
Some are feeling good about it. Like, Laura Dern is like, look, let's keep our mouths shut and everything's going to be fine. And some are like, no, you know, it's
we've got a big little lie.
You know, we're getting away with this, and that's what we're doing. So one of the people that is feeling guilty is the one that actually killed Alexander Sarsgaard, which is Zoe Kravitz. And she's completely messed up because she can't handle the fact not only that she killed him, but she goes, if we had gone to the police, it was, you know, I wouldn't be serving jail time. They would have understood. It would have gone, even if I went to trial, any normal jury would, you know. So there's a whole thing going on with that, but there's all these other subplots, and they're throwing Meryl Streep in, and I, you know, so far two episodes in, I'm pretty bored. My wife's watching it, and I'm just kind of zoning out during it, and it's not what I thought. It's not as good as the first. Not that the first was a brilliant thing, but it was kind of soap opera like but it was okay. I'm kind of bored so far with this. Tell me about this.
Not gonna watch it.
Tell me about this sports documentary.
You know, I've been following all of these. We talked about the Starbury, the one a couple of weeks ago, the kid out of the Bronx.
Yeah,
right.
Marbury, but that they called Starbury. This one is about a guy named Ron Artiz, and it's called Quiet Storm on Showtime. And I can't tell you what it is about these sports docs because I don't follow basketball. But I start watching this, and there's such great stories about this guy who's, you know, acts like kind of a jackass and is traded around a little and finds peace after a while.
What's that MSG series?
30 on 30?
Yeah, well, that's like the always wins the Emmys. It's a, did you ever watch any of, if you like this kind of
well,
stuff?
Well, we had to watch them for the documentary awards 2 years ago. I watched all of them. Yeah,
you like those?
Yeah, some of them, but this is more engrossing. I look, even if you don't like basketball, I think you'll be interested in this guy's story, so I recommend it.
Okay. You know, there's so many channels on television, and one of the channels that I watch lately is the Game Show Network, which shows these vintage game shows from like the 1970s. And, you know, regardless if you want to play along with the games or not, I mean, it's just funny to watch what the contestants are wearing and the styles and the prizes that they give away. And, you know, it's a Panasonic, you know, VHS, VCR, you know, like it's kind of amusing.
So Alec Baldwin looks like he's having fun doing Match Game. I had a buddy that went to see it taped recently, and he said it was like 3 hours.
Yeah, a friend of mine went with his daughter. Daughter's like an adult, but I mean, they said, well, yeah, they were there.
Repeat some of the gags, and it's like
three,
you know,
4 hours.
Alec has to redo this or redo that. I'll never forget what's the Wayne Brady told me they shoot for that show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? To get a half an hour, they shoot 3 hours. Because a lot of that improv stuff like kind of dies with the audience. So anyway, the point is, the game shows are back. People like Alec Baldwin are drawn to them, even though he gives all the money to some foundation.
Well,
he says he's not doing Trump next year, so that's his gig. And now it's become kind of cool to do a game show.
What's interesting is, I mean,
Jamie Foxx is doing a game show.
Well, you got all these stars. I mean, if you look at...
Why aren't you guys doing game shows?
Yeah, we need a game
Bill
show.
Bill McCuddy should do a game show. He's like, got the voice.
Come on down, Neil.
Yeah. So, you know, my point in this is, what I was going to say is, you watch the Game Show Network, and the hosts of these shows basically were radio announcers that, I mean, if you Wikipedia them, you know, Jim Lang from The Dating Game, Bob Eubanks.
Bill Cullen. Cullen always said, I'm not a particularly good-looking man. I'm just
convivial. So they generally were announcers, either TV announcers or radio announcers, and they became these game show hosts. I mean, Richard Dawson was an exception on Family Feud because he was an actor on Hogan's Heroes. But generally speaking,
Gene Rayburn.
Yeah, he was Jack Parr's announcer.
Wink Martindale.
To what?
Wink Martindale.
Yeah. So,
Peter Marshall.
So right now, I mean, they brought back Press Your Luck, hosted by Elizabeth Banks.
Gary Moore.
I mean, Elizabeth Banks is hosting a game show, and Joel McHale is hosting the redo
Jan
of Car
Murray.
Car Sharks. And, if you want to go down this road, Milton Berle, who was Mr. Television.
Yeah, but those don't count. We're talking about one-and-done guys that, like, who was doing Jeopardy before Alex Trebek?
Art Fleming.
Art Fleming, right.
Art Fleming.
Anyway, it'll be interesting to see, like anything, when one thing works, we get 10 more and 9 don't work. So I don't think I think this is a fad.
Well, ABC, it's like, pretty much all these game shows that you could think of. I mean, they've redone them either this year. I mean, they brought the Gong Show back with Mike Myers in this prosthetic stuff playing this English guy.
Yeah, that lasted about... They gonged him.
They might bring it back. I don't know. You know, they got Match Game. That's doing actually very well. You've got, as I said, Card Sharks and Press Your Luck now. They brought back To Tell the Truth with the guy from Black-ish. What's his name? And his mom. Him and his mom. It's actually very funny. Anthony Anderson.
Okay.
And, I mean, just the list goes on and on, man. The $20,000 pyramid, which is now like, I think, $100,000 pyramid with the guy who...
Strahan.
Yeah, Michael Strahan.
Do they all look alike to you, Neil? All the game shows?
No, it's just I'm trying to think of all these hosts of game shows, you know what I mean?
And I won't watch any of them. Bill, what have you got right next to you, by the way?
Oh. Well, this is kind of a sad story, and I wanted to close out but we can talk about anything else you want to, but I'm moving from one apartment to another here in Manhattan. I have 22 years of stuff I've collected, including masters of television shows that are on formats that you can't even find anymore. But I decided to try and sell some of the DVDs that we get sent, like every day.
I have
and
that so box set that's sitting in front of you.
I went to a place, I want to give them a shout out, down on 18th Street. I think it's called Atlantic Video. And I'm sorry, it's called Academy CDs and Records. And they buy them. They actually, it's like a pawn store. You walk them in and they tell you what they'll buy. But I wanted to share with our listeners the reject pile.
Before you tell do you that, what, may I ask you, may what, I ask you a question?
Sure.
Sitting in front of you, since we're not on video, we're on just on, you know, yes, just listen, is a box set that I was also sent many years ago, and it's a Stanley Kubrick.
Well, that's where I'm going with this.
Box set. So I wanted to know
still,
how much
sit
that
still, partner.
Goes
sit still, partner.
Okay,
we're going
to
get
I
there.
I just wanted to know what
I
you
took about. I took about 40 or 50 discs in, and they bought like 40 of them, and here are the rejects. They rejected Popstar. They rejected Bill Murray and Rock the Casbah. These are all, by the way, Blu-rays.
They rejected
Mud, which I was surprised about. Jesus' Son, I could understand with Billy Crudup. They didn't want The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly because it came in a boxed set. Now, let me tell you something interesting. I saved the box set that you jumped the gun on for a reason. This is going to stun you. So I'm holding the thing you were alluding to, and thank you for pointing out we're not on video. I never realized that until this moment. I'm holding a box
He's
set.
He's a comic lady. Professional
Stanley
comedian.
Kubrick, everything Stanley did, plus a documentary called A Life in Pictures that has a lot of cool interviews with people, including his daughter, that have never talked about him before.
Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, it's good. Okay. So these the sets, when they, by the way, they tell you when you if you bring sets in, we don't buy them as a set. We take the set apart and we sell them individually.
Really?
Yeah, which just crushed me because this like set, including this extra thing, was like
what if you bring Roots
$200
in, like as opposed to these standalone movies that are in a box set, like 10 DVD discs.
Well, I brought
discs.
Game of Thrones, and they
we're only interested in season 1, episode 3.
No, they gave me Game of Thrones back, and then they said, well, for it since it's sealed, a dollar would give you a dollar.
Oh God!
I will tell you that
dollar.
on the average, I got between $1 and as much as $5 each. But they passed on Barry Lyndon, 2001: A Space Odyssey, Eyes Wide Shut, Full Metal Jacket, The Shining, A Clockwork Orange, Doctor Strangelove, and Lolita.
Wow!
They passed on that. We're not interested in buying that.
Well, they said maybe for a dollar, but I thought
a dollar for the whole box set.
No, for each. But
I'll give you $5 for the box.
All right, it's sold.
Seriously,
and they're in something called slip cases, which they said.
Yeah, those aren't.
Or not the way that they did it at the end, whatever. I mean, it was very, very, very sobering. So I just thought it was...
What went for the most money?
The most... I got some opera CDs they gave me in boxed sets. They gave me $6 or $8 a piece for. Hmm. And they gave me $5 a piece for certain Criterion discs.
Oh, those Criterion discs. I mean, they're like...
But well, they don't have much markup. The stuff they were paying me a dollar for, they said, goes in the bargain bin for $2.99.
Well,
so they're not getting rich on this proposition.
Well, here's the thing, you know, and I don't know if you've, I know you're on eBay selling stuff from time to time, Bill, but, you know, if you look up, sometimes I've wanted to buy like a DVD of a movie that, like, you just can't find the movie anywhere, and you go to eBay, and they're like new copy, $4, you know, used copy from 39 cents and stuff like that. So, these are things they're selling at Best Buy for like at one time for, you know, $24 or whatever. And you can get them for like 39 cents, 49 cents. So I don't know.
How does it pay on eBay to sell something for 49 cents?
I don't know. I think the shipping is more than that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But there's a movie that I really like written by Renee Taylor and Joseph Bologna starring Diane Keaton and Gig Young called Lovers and Other Strangers.
Sure.
And I was watching something on TV like last year and somebody referenced the movie and I'm going, man, I haven't seen that movie. I love that movie. I haven't seen that movie in like 40 years or whatever. And there, it's out of print, but it was on eBay and on that one, it was like $60 for the thing because
you couldn't find it.
You couldn't find it anywhere. Yeah. I did not buy the movie. I wasn't going to spend $60.
I wish I could act surprised.
But for a buck, you know, $2, I would have, sure.
The man who just paid $5 for the box set of Kubrick.
I wasn't spending $60 for Lovers and Other Strangers.
All right. Okay. Understood.
You know who else is it? You know who's in Lovers and Other Strangers?
Oh,
Richard Castellano from The Godfather, who played Paulie?
I don't know.
Castellano.
Clemenza. I'm sorry. Clemenza. And B. Arthur played his wife.
B. Arthur.
Mrs. Clemenza.
How do you like that?
B. Arthur.
B. Arthur takes a lot of hits. You know, I don't know. They always make fun of her on the roast. And then she showed up to a roast, which was nice. which was kind of interesting. Yes. So moving on.
Didn't somebody say I wouldn't fuck her with B. Arthur's dick?
Jeffrey Ross. Sure. Jeff Ross. That was a Jeff Ross line. Who has a show also, Historical Roasts. I don't know if we talked. Did we talk about this on?
No.
He has a show called Historical Roasts, which I love.
Although
Jeff.
I want to give Jeff a shout out. So yeah, go ahead.
And he, in each show is thematic. Like they roast Abraham Lincoln or they'll roast, which I didn't watch this one. Yeah, we did talk about this. Anne Frank. They have a roast of Anne Frank. I don't know how they do that. But Gilbert Gottfried.
If we've done this before, I apologize.
Yes, and I don't know. And
so let's talk about Toy Story 4.
Let's ask Bill what's coming next week.
What is coming next week, Bill?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
And Annabelle Comes Home.
Oh, what's that? That's, oh, yeah, that's
the
crappy
doll. The crappy. Yeah, doll. Yeah. The creepy. Yeah, yeah.
The creepy doll.
That's what, you know, in time for 4th of July.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, just in time for the 4th of July. All right. Well, there you go. Okay, so.
We watch the bad movies, so you don't have
don't
to.
Don't we, indeed? And
some weeks more than others.
Thanks for sitting around talking movies with us, and you'll. Sit around talking movies with us next week. And if you want to reach me on Twitter, it's at Neil Rosenapples. And if you want to reach Bill McCuddy.
At Bill McCuddy.
And believe it or not, we mention this every week. It's big news. If you want to reach Bill Bregoli on Instagram.
Hey, you can reach Bill Bregoli. I'm hip. It's what the kids are all doing.
What are you?
I'm on Instagram and I don't post anything. I have like 200 followers.
I have some pictures in my living room, but it's going to get a little more business oriented.
Should I post some pictures of this living room? No.
This place is like up for sale, I guess, or something like that. Well, anyway, as I said, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening and to our one of the listeners who
thanks, Mom.
Said our podcast last week was the what do you say? It was the best ever.
Best this year. All we can say is sorry about this week.
Yeah, well, there you go. Anyway.
It's all in the editing.
We'll see you next week.